This episode was recorded earlier this year as part of our conversations with culture leaders. And while it might not be explicitly about AI, the technology is forcing us to really rethink how work works. And many of these ideas are becoming even more relevant. So let's jump right in. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. It feels like the way that businesses run these days is starting to falter or fail, or at least show some cracks. And I wanted to have a conversation about another way that you might be able to run and manage a business that I think is gaining more and more relevance, the idea of employee ownership. And so with us today, Bob Whalen is the CEO of HB Global. And he has, when he took over as CEO of this organization, he thoughtfully created an organization, transitioned it into becoming an employee ownership opportunity. And he is doing some incredible things. I love the way that he's thinking about this, and I wanted to sh help have him share his story with you. Bob Whalen, thanks for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
So let's just start from the top. What is HB Global? How long have you been running it? How did you get here?
HB Global is an ESOP holding company, and I acquired a minority interest in HB McClure, which was the first business we got involved in 2008. So if you think back to 2008, we were in recession and didn't know it. And so fast forward a year, I'm looking for ways to make that deal more efficient. And I come across an ESOP, and I had come out of the employee benefits consulting space, so I was aware of it, but came across this: how do you make a deal more efficient? You make it more tax efficient. Led me to the ESOP, which, oh, by the way, was perfectly culturally aligned with what I was trying to do with the business. I really came out of business school in the mid, 2000, 2 to 4, wanting to run a business, but wanting to do it much like a sports team. So think about a sports team. We've got, a whole bunch of different people doing different stuff and really trying to get everybody aligned, working for the same goal and really produce. And I think the basketball analogy is the best one because it's relatively small. You got five players. The NBA, the best individual players do not win in the NBA. It's the team that comes together and plays the best together. And that was really the philosophy of what we were trying to do. And so the ESOP perfectly aligns, your team, that we're all in this together. We share what we create. And so in 2010, we were a $25 million organization with 150 people, and we were off to the races.
ESOP is employee share owner
Employee stock ownership plan.
stock ownership plan. I probably practiced that three times before we started. I still screwed it up. Stock ownership plan. And the other thing that I want to get on the table. So what there are a number of businesses that HB Global owns. What types of businesses are there? Just so we can level set and make sure that people get a good picture of what we're talking
Yeah, our
about.
predominant business is commercial mechanical contracting, service, and replacement business. We also have about, 10% of that business. We have a residential service business. So that was out of the original HB McClure and IT Landis, which was one of our original acquisitions. And since we have diversified into 5G infrastructure business, so we install fiber optics cable out there predominantly in the Carolinas and in Georgia. And we also have a residential or a real estate service business in central Pennsylvania. So we manage commercial buildings, multifamily properties, and all of that through the real estate business. But that's all happened relatively recently. So we are now diversifying into other businesses that we feel, we have some expertise as part of that business as well.
The reason why I wanted to talk about that, because I think it really fleshes out this picture that your employees, maybe a majority of your employees, are out in the field. They are doing the work. They are, some of them may be customer facing, or a lot of them might be, and you actually experience those people out in the world. And I think the reason why is because those folks are traditionally much harder to, I guess, I don't want to say keep, but be part of this cultural experience. There's a whole, I think most of my experience and most of the people that are listening, it's like we're talking about people sitting in cubicles at their desk and they can check their email all day long. Can't do that out in the field. And so I think this is an extreme case, right? If you can do this with these kinds of folks, then it feels like almost anybody can. And that's my pitch. That's my thesis here.
Well, let me I believe that that's true. I believe your thesis is true. But let me also say the other side of that is it doesn't just happen because you're an ESOP. It still takes work from the organization to really buy in to having a culture that you're passionate about, that you work hard about. We spend an incredible amount of time messaging about what we are as a culture. We have a mission, a vision, and a set of core values. And now we've even instituted a set of principles that give more nuance to what we are and what we're about, specifically so that we're building that culture with everybody that we don't necessarily touch on an everyday basis. And it's real work, and we have our own podcast where we do it that way. We have written materials, we send emails, we have annual meetings, we do all kinds of things, but we view culture as the number one most important thing about our company's success. And the ESOP is really a component of that culture. It's not the thing, it's part of what we are. It's how we share our value. It's how we show respect to all of those customer-facing employee owners that very often, view like they're disrespected, like their role is not important.
You're just a
And
worker, right? Like that's the
yeah, you're just like a worker, like an offensive tackle is on a NFL football team. The quarterback's on his back whenever you don't do your job, and it's the same for us. If our guys that are customer facing doing the hard work, don't do a great job and don't really communicate well with the customers, we don't succeed as a business. And that's not lost on us. And so we share what we create. And for me, it's a concrete sign of respect.
Yeah, you're living it. Okay, there's so many elements that it's incredible, some of the programs that you have in place and some of the aspirations. Before we get to that, and folks who listen to Great Mondays know that, finding people who really understand culture is not easy. How did you come to this? Like how, 'cause it's not, I don't believe that everybody that comes out of business school is like, it has that same perspective. What led you to this, a powerful point of view?
Well, I think I had really formative experiences early on in my career. My very first job out of college, I worked for a company, Continental Medical Systems, that was very culturally focused. We had a set of core values that was involved in every interview that was done, every performance appraisal you had. It was reinforced consistently from the senior management team. And this was a company that had employees all over the country, spread out multiple locations. And it was very center of mind. And, just to dispel some, delusions, even in a company that's very focused on culture, 100% of the behaviors of 100% of your employees, do not live that out all the time. It's a language that we use to align as many people and as many behaviors and as many actions as we possibly can. And so I had that first experience, and it was a big important part of how we operated. Fast forward 3 years, I went to my second experience, was working for the same boss, and I worked for a company that described themselves as being the employer of choice. And not one time in my couple of years of experience there did I ever hear a senior manager take into consideration the impact that this decision was going to have on their employees. And so that dichotomy was very important to me. And ironically, the second business actually went bankrupt. It's not the only reason that it went bankrupt, but I do think it's an important, part of the story. That is what really informs me. And then, all the experiences I had growing up being on great teams and poor teams. You see what works, what happened with the really great teams and what came together, and what was not there for the teams that didn't meet their potential, and I was on some of those teams as well. And so I think those are the formidable experiences that just has kind of made me maniacal about this. I spend 50% of my job, really describing the culture that we're trying to be. And I want it to be out there so people can use it as a language to say, hey, this decision you made doesn't seem to me is in line with our core values or our mission or our culture of our company. I think it's a really important part. And I don't think there would be any employee at HP Global that would say, hey, I've never heard anything about the culture of this company. We don't know. I mean, yes, they are words on our wall too, but we are actively trying to live them every day. And I think, it's my highest priority.
That's amazing. That's what I believe it should be. And I think about it like like any energy system, which is if you're not putting it in, it's gonna, entropy is gonna take over, and it's gonna kind of dissolve. Now you've created enough momentum that it, would likely continue on. But if you want to improve it, you got to keep putting that energy in. And many organizations will think about culture as, a project, but it's really much more a way of being. Okay, so I want to get to some of these just incredible ways, the goals that you have here. You have stated on your website that your goal is that every employee becomes a millionaire. Talk to me about that. Is a cra I just want to state it again in case you thought you maybe misheard that. Your goal is that every employee becomes a millionaire. Talk to me. Tell me about how you came to that. What is that about?
So first of all, so take a step back. I really believe it's the in the uni in our system that retirement is the responsibility of the company. Now, I think it's perfectly okay for companies to say, hey, employees, we're going to offer you this 401k and you're really responsible for it. But I really feel like it's the responsibility of the company. You just know that some of your employees will not do that if you leave it in their hands. So I just view that retirement is the responsibility of the employee. And so if my true objective is that our employees, if they spend a career with us, will have the resources they need to live the standard of living they had while they were working. And so what that really is some multiple of their annual salary, say, if you're a technician and Social Security makes up 40%, it's probably somewhere in the 12, 13, 14 times your annual pay that you need to get there. Well, simplify that down to a median technician, it's somewhere in the vicinity of $1 million. And so, and $1 million is, as much a marketing thing as anything, we're going to make you a millionaire. So there is a marketing component to that, but that's what it's based off of. And so the other thing that I know through the power of compounding, if we just do the right things a little bit at a time, the whole way through a career, it's not that hard to get there.
That's
It's
right.
just not.
It's that's
And
right.
so
That's
when I make
right.
this commitment that we're going to make our employees, if they spend a career for me, it doesn't even feel to me like I'm making, a big commitment. It's like, some owners will make a big deal out of paying their paycheck on Friday. Well, it's not a big deal to me that we made that commitment. We're going to pay them. It's the same thing for this. to me, because I know if we just do the right things a little bit at a time over a, a very long period of time, we'll get there. And now that was a story at one point. You know, when we acquired IT Landis in 2014, I sold them on this story that almost nothing of it had happened yet. But now, fast forward, we have 15 years. And so we have actually acquired another ESOP company that was started in the year 2000, and they're an electrical contractor. Every single employee that's been there for the 25 years has a balance over $1 million. So every single employee of their company that's now worked for us for 25 years has a balance of over $1 million. Take our employees that were with us when we started in 2010, and almost 50% of the employees that started with us in 2010 are still with us. The median balance, I don't have the final numbers yet, but last year it was $392,000 after 14 years. It's going to be in excess of a half a million dollars. So all we have to do is double that one more time over 10 years. And we've compounded our stock at 34% a year over the first 15 years. So, it's not done. It's not in the bank, but this commitment we made is very serious. And, frankly, on my StrengthFinders test, responsibility is my biggest strength. And I take this responsibility of what we do for our employees very seriously. And we will execute on this. At the very least, we will make all the decisions we need to for the company to make sure that this happens for our employees. And we're well on our way.
Tim, this is and you're it is as much marketing as anything else, but it is another way of looking at it is this it is a signal about how the organization thinks about its employees. And that to me is as important. And we so many people, oh, how do we get more people in the door? How do we become an employer of choice, right? Which everybody says. How do you retain more people? How do we do that? Like, what is it that and the way that you frame this up just makes it is about the money, but it's not about the money. And to me, that story gives you, that statement gives you an opportunity to tell a story.
Absolutely. It's absolutely our story. And it starts with our objective is that our employees and their base pay and benefit packages are at least market. So we want to start out that our base pay and our benefit package should be at least market for what they do in there. And so then everything, it's the I talk about it as being alpha. Anything we create for them over and above what is market is alpha. And that comes from, the stock market. If you do more than the market, you're creating alpha. And we view it the same way as an employer. They're my customer. I'm trying to create alpha for our employees. And the way we do that is in the short term, we share a percentage of our operating profit in bonuses. And of all the acquisitions we've done over the last 15 years, our bonus plan that we instill when they join us is better than the bonuses they got paid before. So we've never bought a company that we don't pay more in the short run than what they were getting before. And then in addition to that, we add an ESOP benefit, which has produced the balances that we did. And that's the major vehicle for us producing alpha for our customers. So it's very much, this is all very much how we show respect for all of the people that work for us.
And if you think about the inverse of that story, which is where, and this is my prediction for we're going to see for the next 5 years, organizations are exceeding, are compressing their vision to extreme short-termism, and running away from that responsibility is how I would look at it. In fact, they are, the one of the trends is that there are fewer full-time positions and more contract, more fractional work, and it's the Uberification of the workforce. We don't have to do those things so that we're taking care of our company. But in the way it's the
what is the story that that's telling you? It's like the how employees are like, you don't care about me, I don't care about you. Like when times get tough, see ya, right?
We want to compound ownership too. So we want to grow the number of employees that we have in our company. You know, we also work very hard for the ESOP industry as a whole to sell ESOPs to other business owners. You know, we're really passionate about this. You know, and I don't, you know, necessarily focus on wealth and equity in what I'm trying to do, but it does, you know, perform that function in that, you know, we are raising, in essence, you know, middle class workers' pay overall and over time. And, you know, that's how we really view it.
You're delivering. I mean, we're gonna zoom out here for a minute. You're delivering on the American dream when America isn't even doing that anymore, and that just makes me so incredibly, thankful for organizations and leaders like you to be able to see that, understand that, and I loved how you put that, the responsibility of being a business owner, because it's not. The enterprise, the idea of a business is not to be greedy, but to be, giving and expansive so that everybody benefits.
We believe in the power of and.
Yeah.
You know, you can do multiple things at the same time. We can, you know, produce a great product for our customers. We can have better paid and better rewarded employees than anybody in our industry. We can serve the communities that we're in. And, you know, and that's one of the things that we think, you know, ESOPs are, you know, frankly, a tool to keep locally owned businesses owned by
Yep.
locally owned people, as
Yep.
opposed to, you know, all the businesses we're in are of interest to private equity. And, you know, we win acquisitions all the time when we're competing against private equity. And frankly, private equity being willing to pay more for the business than we are. But there's still a large number of owners out there that the legacy of their business is important. The community that they're in is important. The employees that have served, it's not lost on these owners that the employees have served them all the years. Maybe they didn't know the tools that were available to them to maximize the return to their employees.
Yeah.
But when you show it to them and explain it to them, there's a whole subsegment of business owners that that's what they want for their business. They can have their cake and they can eat it too. They can get their liquidity and sell to an ESOP or create an ESOP and take care of all those employees that help get them there. And I'm telling you, more owners are like that than what you think. You know, the everything is glamor, you know, exits are glamorized in our
Yeah.
society,
Yeah.
but the
Yeah.
reality is most business owners that exit are not happy 2 years later. And this is one way that they can achieve a lot of what they wanted to achieve on that exit and still serve their community, still serve their employees, still serve their customer in a way that's in line with their values.
Yeah. Let's talk for a few minutes about some of the other ways that you spend that 50% of your time talking about culture. How do you articulate and continue to get feedback from all of these different companies and groups that you own, because we started by saying it's like you have many different organizations underneath the umbrella. There are folks out in out in the world. They're not sitting at a desk. How are you articulating it? What are some of the most powerful, effective tools you've used in order to make sure that all of these folks continue to understand and be aligned?
I know nobody wants to hear this, but it's about repetition. So we start almost every meeting that we have, we start out with our mission, vision, and core values. Every meeting. You know, so you're talking about, you know, our mission is to, you know, embrace our employee owners, making this a great place to work and create value. And then we have a set of core values: trust, team, grit, and growth. You know, those are our four values. And then we have a vision of how we do it. It starts with engaged employees. If we have engaged employees, they will create raving fans. If we create raving fans, they'll create superior financial results. And because of how we're structured, we reinvest that back, you know, into our employees, either through reinvesting in the business, paying bonuses, creating ESOP value. You know, everything gets reinvested back in, and it's an endless cycle. And so nobody wants to hear that a lot of this is about being consistent. Now, I will talk to you about, you know, where I still don't think we are where we need to be. And that's for the feedback loop for all the employees to take us on when they feel like we're not doing what we said we're supposed to. I encourage it all the time. You know, I say all the time, I
Yeah,
want
I want to
you know,
hear
to
it.
push back.
Yeah.
But we still don't get nearly enough of that because I know it's impossible for us to be as aligned with our values on an everyday basis as
Yeah.
the feedback would indicate because
Yeah.
nobody says anything.
Yeah.
And I
Yeah.
think big picture, people do appreciate it. They do think, you know, we're aligned with our core values, but you know, there's the rubber meets the road with each individual interaction, behavior, and
Yeah.
action.
Yeah.
And I just don't believe that we're that good. And
Yeah.
so I, you know, the one thing that I'm working on is how can we draw that out of our organization?
Yep.
You know, that, and I think it's, you know, it's, I think there's a jet for whatever reason, and you know, I haven't lived long enough to know why this is, but there's just a general distrust of business from the employee base.
Yeah.
You know, and we're trying to figure out how do we bring that out? So that's where we'll get our best work done. You know, when we really get,
Yeah.
you know, the line employee saying, Bob, this is not right. You know, and they do say that every once in a while, but it's
Yeah.
just not frequently enough. And you just see how hard it is. And, you know, and part of it is because when they do do it, then as leaders, we don't always react the way we should. The most important thing is we should be
That's
happy to have
right.
that feedback,
Yes.
not
Thank
even
you.
necessarily what the feedback is
That's
doing. And
right.
we've
That's
got to
right.
do a
That's
better
right.
job of that.
Yeah. That.
But I think it's the most important thing. And it's, you know, it's just like, you know, working out or, you know, anything. It's those 1,000 hours
Yeah.
of,
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
know, diligent practice. It's not just practice, it's diligent practice.
Mm,
And we try to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say with feedback, what I've learned, right? There's kind of two channels or two drivers that can either be blocked or, you know, flowing. One is what you said, which is what is the, do I feel comfortable telling someone, hi, my manager or my CEO, that things aren't good? What that's we've been conditioned as humans that that's not okay. And so there's that piece, but then there's also the technical, like what's the switch, what's the tool, and it's not going to be the same thing for everybody. So it's very complicated, and I will say it's one of the largest gaps that we've seen in many, many organizations is how do you get that feedback loop? Because who wants to sit down and do an 80 question survey? And honestly, we know that your answers are maybe not exactly what you're thinking. And so
Exactly.
what's the real, you know, how do you incentivize that? How do you make it okay, right? Which is like you just said, you're like, yes, great. Tell me more, right? Like how do you model that, right? Like it's like that's such an interesting element. Do you what are the kinds of ways that you recognize your employees or reward your employees? Do you have any programs in place? What has worked? What hasn't worked?
We do. The divisions oftentimes will have a reward system around, you know, recognizing somebody that exhibited the core values. And so they're all responsible to do their own thing. It's not something that we make them from HB Global do, but, you know, the different divisions have reward systems of how they recognize. I think we try to recognize people publicly. You know, we just had all the managers on the company have a call that we did. We just did it today, so I'm familiar with it. But everybody that spoke on that call that was highlighting a project or something, you know, the list of people that they showed gratitude for, you know, was, you know, this long. You know, they were very open about giving credit to others and, you know, who's, you know, maybe the leader was the one presenting about the project, but they probably listed 10 people that were really critical to that success. You know, I think that that's a big part of it. And I do think it's really about just having an attitude of gratitude, you know, that you are grateful for what everybody brings. We talk about everybody in our company has a role or they would not be here. You know, we don't just have positions that we don't need just because, you know, we're doing it. If you're here, you're important to what we do.
Yeah.
And everybody needs to do their job well. You know, that was a New England Patriots, Bill Belichick thing. Do your job. That's the first most important thing. And we try to recognize that. We try to show gratitude for that. No matter what that role is,
yeah,
you know, you're important to our success and to make sure that we're showing gratitude for it.
As we wrap up here, what would you tell someone who is leading a team inside of an organization? What is the first step that they might take or the next step that they might take in order to, they don't have the, right, the big idea here, right? We're talking about ESOP and employee ownership. They may not have that tool, right? There are some small business owners and that's amazing. They should think about that. But if we're thinking like I'm a manager inside of a larger organization, what, and I'm coming to you, what would you advise to move towards creating more of this kind of relationship with your employees, this kind of culture, this kind of buy-in or, you know, lived experience?
Well, you know, I think it's really it's really important to articulate what's expected. So what behaviors are most important for your team? And I don't, you know, I don't care what your team, you know, is doing, but these are the behaviors, you know, that are important. You know, like, so we talk about some behaviors that are really important is about giving your teammates grace. You know, there's nothing worse than being on a team when you feel like one of your teammates is pointing and saying, you're screwing up. The reason we're not getting to where, you know, it's like showing grace to your teammates. I mean, you don't know what they're going through. Most of the time, you don't know everything that goes into getting that done and showing grace to your teammates. You know, as opposed to pointing a finger at them, is there anything I can do to help you out? But articulating those things, and, you know, and I think you start small, and it's really important that as the leader, you show those behaviors. Again, back to my early experience, if you say that you're the employer of choice and you don't care about the employees, you go out of your way to show that that's not important to you, you know, that's not going to get you anywhere as a team leader. But if you say, hey, you know, showing your teammates grace is important, and then something goes wrong, and instead of, you know, sitting the employee down and starting into them about, you know, what's not right, how about, hey, what's going on with this? Start with questions. I think one of the things that was appreciated of me when I first started is when I would get a customer complaint from somebody in the community, I didn't go right down and start accusing our people of not doing, you know, whatever the customer said. If I got a call from a customer, I'd say, hey, I got a call from this customer. What's your perspective on what's going on? You know, and some, you'd be amazed. Sometimes they'd say, hey, I just dropped the ball on this. You know, I didn't call that customer back timely or whatever. But other times they were like, hey, this is the situation. And every once in a while, we actually have the phone call recorded. You know, so I would get a call from somebody, they'd say this happened, and I get the, you know, the recording of the phone call, and it's nothing, you know, what they described. And I think when you show your team that level of respect, you know, it's really helpful. And then you can build on that, you know. So we build, you know, our behaviors are deeper than just one or two now. You know, over the years, we build up these behaviors that are really important to us. You know, we have three behaviors with each one of our core values that's important. And so those things, you know, start to add up, and you get more depth, you get more nuance to what you do. But it's got, you know, we back to, you know, some of the marketing stuff. You know, it's got to start out with a clean message. You know, you're disciplined on it, you do it, you live it, you know, and then over time you can expand it. And we get it wrong, and we'll, you know, we'll retrench a little bit, you know. And so because our list of mistakes and things we've learned from, you know, are, you know, 10,000 miles long. You know, we have plenty of them, and that's an important part of it.
Amazing. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing a little bit about this. It does give me hope in a time when I feel like too many business leaders are shirking their duty. I think the theme that I'm really taking away from this is respect, right? Everything that you're talking about is all about seeing those other humans and respecting them. And I know that people will feel that if you're being authentic about it. And that, you know, gives you a lot of leeway and flexibility to be able to ask of them and to give to them. And I think that's wonderful. Bob Whalen, CEO of HB Global. You can learn more about them at HB-global.com. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit more about what it means to have an employee-owned company and the power of it. It's really been wonderful. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest on our program, head over to radio.greatmondays.com and fill in the application. Have a friend you think would find this episode interesting? Send it to them. And while you're at it, rate and review. It really helps. I'd love to connect. Send me an email, josh@greatmondays.com. And if you're interested in learning more about how I help private businesses elevate how teams operate in an AI-driven world, check out greatmondays.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.